It is a privilege to have all of you here. My name is Luke, and glad to have you here. If you're a guest or new here, a special welcome to you. Great to be worshiping with you all this morning. I thought that was an awesome worship set. Thank you to our team. You guys are amazing and incredible and wonderful and all those awesome things. Also wanted to say thank you to Peter Kapsner, who, if you've been over here over the last 4 weeks, led a really wonderful series looking at Acts 2 and helping us frame our thinking of what it really means to be followers of Christ as a community, as believers together. I thought that was really powerful. If you missed any of those messages, please do take a moment to check in. And in case you're wondering, I know most of you think that pastors only work on Sundays in the first place. And so then when I'm not here preaching, you're wondering, okay, so what? But I said early on, we're doing this thing where when I came into the role in January, I said, you know, I think let's try having the teaching team write and develop and preach their own series. Because as a preacher who was on different preaching teams, being plugged in as a one-off in someone else's series can be really hard and almost kind of awkward. And so then giving Peter the chance then to write that whole series and then preach that whole series to you, you could feel the passion that he had for it, right? I hope. And then that little break in the preaching allowed me some time to work on a few other projects, spend some time with family. So that was really good. Thank you for him and thank you for all of you. But I am excited to jump into this four-week series we're calling Soul Business Summer Edition. Because if you've been around, you know that we started 2026 with a series called Soul Business. And so here's my question for you before we jump in. How many of you on like one of the hottest weeks ever drank some water this week? Mercy if your hand is not raised. We got problems, okay? How many of you are more of a sparkling water kind of fan? How many have had any sparkling water this week? Okay, this is good. This is good. Okay, how many drank one of these this week? And I mean Gatorade, not Powerade. Don't talk to me about Powerade, people. It is not the same. Okay, now this is a weird one. So have you heard of Liquid IV? It's that new, whatever. Hillary found this one called Element. Have you guys heard of this before? Element. It's basically like someone took like some fruit and squeezed it in some water and then a handful of salt and dumped it in water. It's like the ocean with fruit floating in it. It's not good at all. It's like horrible. I cannot believe the times when she has had it in her water bottle without telling me and I go to take a sip, mercy. But supposedly it's helping her to stay hydrated. This is the point. So we're on this like super heater of a week. We've got clouds of like billowing smoke coming in and keeping us from being able to be outside. Our AWOL trip, if you heard, had to get cut a day short because of the heat and the smoke. We had our men's golf event last weekend and we're all out there just like dripping and dripping. I had to borrow a towel from one of my teammates because I was sweating so much. And do you guys remember sweatshirts? When's the last time you wore a sweatshirt? Man, how comfy it is to wear a sweatshirt. Just long for those days to return. So the idea here in this Soul Business Summer Edition is going to be the idea that we are really good at hydrating when our bodies are quenched. When our bodies are feeling parched and dry and thirsty, we all have all the tips, all the tools, all the tricks for making sure that we stay hydrated, right? How many times growing up have you heard the word, make sure you stay hydrated, make sure you stay hydrated, make sure you stay hydrated? But spiritually speaking, we tend to think that we can just grind through it when we're feeling spiritually dehydrated without really taking the time that we need to reset our system, to quench the thirst of our souls, okay? So there's, as a pastor here, like there's a balance that I need to strike as I think about what we're talking about and where we're going between like pushing the congregation forward and making sure that we're all like being pushed and challenged and changed and, you know, moving forward in the way Jesus wants and on mission and all those good things. We need to talk about all those things. And then every once in a while, I just think there's a moment where we just need to stop and realize that we are all living this human experience. And so if pastor is shepherd, which I don't love the analogy, but it is biblical. If pastor is shepherd, sometimes we need to move the flock into the new place, keep going next step, and sometimes we just need to stop and just let everyone eat the grass for a while, So that's what we're going to do for these 4 weeks, is we're just going to slow down, okay? We're going to be in the book of Psalms, and we're going to allow ourselves, because as I've been listening, meeting with people, hearing stories, there is a lot of spiritual dehydration going on. There's a lot of hurt happening. There's a lot of grief and mourning. There's a lot of pain happening. And so I just want to invite us into this opportunity over these next 4 weeks to become more spiritually hydrated, okay? See what I did there with the cute start? Okay, there we go. Done. Done with that. Would you please join me in reading? I will read, but follow along with me as I read Psalm 42. You can open up your Bibles, grab your phones if that's helpful to you in any way. Here it is, Psalm 42, the psalm of the day. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, "Where is this God of yours?" My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me, but each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, "Where is this God of yours?" Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you as people who are longing for something, every one of us. Whether we're on a high in life or a low in life, each one of us has a longing soul, a thirst that can only be quenched by you. So I pray, Father, that each one of us now would bring our authentic selves before you, that we would open up our hearts, our minds, that we would come before you vulnerably and allow you to work on us, allow you to pour yourself into us, allow you to fill us with the hope that only you can provide. And I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be here together. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Psalm 42. Here's a little bit about the structure of this psalm. This is the, if you're flipping through the book of Psalms, you'll notice that it's split into five different books. There's 150 psalms split across five books. No one knows exactly why they decided to split those five books into the five books that they are, but they know structurally the end of each book ends with a praise. So if this is Psalm 42, you could go to Psalm 41 and find this big expounding praise that then transitions into the next book. This is the beginning of book two of the Psalms. If you want to do a little bit extra this week, you could actually go and read Psalm 43, which actually is joined alongside Psalm 42 as what most people consider to be one poem that were together. We're only going to look at Psalm 42 here today. You'll notice in your Bibles that the heading of this psalm says, written by the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah, you know, the majority of the psalms that we read are written by King David, and this one happens to be written by the sons of Korah, and I was curious, like, what does that even mean? So we actually know a fair amount about this. If this is too nerdy for you, sorry. If it's interesting for you, there you go. So Korah was a real man who was the great grandson of Levi. So there's 12 tribes of Israel, 12 sons of Jacob, Levi being one of those. So you can see in number 16 that Korah was a great grandson of Levi. You can see that he actually led a bit of a rebellion of sorts against Moses and Aaron. He tried to usurp their authority and was actually killed for it. But it says in Numbers 26, verse 11, that the sons of Korah did not die that day. Did not die that day. So that's interesting. And then in 1 Chronicles, you can see that those sons of Korah, we don't know exactly how many there were, we don't know all their names, but they were actually appointed by King David to be essentially the Tyler and Taylors of the kingdom at that time, the worship leaders of that space, okay? And the whole team, I guess. I don't know, all of you guys. They were appointed by King David to be a part of his worship space, okay? So these guys were living at the same time as King David. You can imagine there was some mentorship or some relationship that happened there. So you can believe that around the same time that King David was writing all of his psalms, these sons of Korah were also writing theirs, okay? Interesting enough, right? And then you can see the structure of this psalm is really interesting. It's split into the poem itself has three stanzas. Psalm 43 has its own stanza, but this psalm has two stanzas that are split by this phrase right here. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. And then you can see that here again at the bottom right there. So that is what breaks this up into the two stanzas that it is. The last thing I wanted to point out about this text is that there is strong, strong imagery of water throughout it, okay? There's this water theme, this pouring out theme that you'll see as we dig further into it, okay? So notice that. Thus, again, the cute illustration that we did at the beginning here, all about water. Now, here's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the idea of being discouraged. Okay, being discouraged, and how we can find hope in the midst of our discouragement, okay? So we are a discouraged people. How can we find hope in the midst of that? So think about it this way, all right? Because I've been thinking about this for several weeks now. You guys are just starting to get into my process, okay? So think about the world we're living in. Think about the times we're living in. Think about the different situations people are going through. Think about what your neighbors are talking about. Think about what your text message groups are talking about. Think about what your family is talking about as you gather over at the lake or whatever it may be, right? If you were to take a special scanner, we invented a device that you could go around and you could scan people as you were walking by and it would beep for everyone who was feeling discouraged. How would that go for us? Would it be every so often? Or would it be like, beep, 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 right? And then if we were able to flip a switch on the scanner and then we were to be able to go around to people and find the people who are experiencing tremendous hope in the midst of their discouragement, what would that be like? Beep. Garfield's got it, I know, back there. Beep. Maybe a few, right? There's this massive, massive reality in our life right now that we are culturally discouraged. We are very comfortable living in discouragement. In fact, I think we feed off of it a little bit. So my main point here today is going to be that when we are spiritually dehydrated, we are much more susceptible to being discouraged. But when we find ourselves spiritually hydrated, then we can find true hope, okay? So let's talk about this discouragement for a minute. Now, I'm talking about real discouragement here. If you read through the psalm and you try to sense the tone of what this author is really getting at, he's not like, it's not like, oh, I was cheering for England, but then Spain, yeah. Or like, it's not like, oh, Moana live action was going to be so good, but then it was like not very good. Like my hair was, it's doing that thing again. Like, no, that's not what we're talking about, okay? That's not the type of discouragement that we're referring to here. We are talking about deep-seated, really painful discouragement. The type that makes it hard to get out of bed in the morning. The type that makes you lose sight of the good things that are going on around you. The type that gets you so, like, blinders on, focused on all the negative things, that you get stuck in that space. That word in verses 5 and 11, discouraged, more literally could be downcast. Downcast. Essentially to, like sink down, like not have the strength to stay up. Think about a marathon runner. Think about a marathon runner who just is so depleted, so exhausted, so dry that they don't have the strength to get back up. That's the type of discouragement that we're talking about. And honestly, this is how many, many people are feeling these days. Maybe not you. I get it. Maybe it isn't you today, right? But it's a lot of you. This is how many, many people in the world are living today. And there's plenty of reason to feel discouraged, right? Plenty of reason. This list took me maybe 15 minutes, something like that. Take a scan. I don't know what it is for you. There's plenty going on in the world to keep us discouraged. I have been trying to pay attention over the course of the last few weeks. And I'm not going to share people's stories with them, but I started noticing more and more how common this really is. There's a couple of conversations I had with people in our congregation just this week where, the tears were flowing and they were just really being raw and vulnerable about their situation and what's going on in their mind, what's going on in their heart, and you just feel it and the level of discouragement that they were under. We have a staff group chat. We got a message just yesterday that about someone in the congregation is so discouraging. It's just such a discouraged situation. I think we're all reeling from that just a little bit still. I had this one picture in my mind. I was at a red light earlier in the week, and I was sitting there, and right in front of me was this black SUV, and I could see this young woman in her rearview mirror or her side view mirror, and I could just see her just wiping away the tears. And it was like a long red light. It was like 4 minutes or something like that. We were sitting there. And I was trying not to, like, invade her privacy or anything like that. But it was just like noticing. And you could tell she was just like looking around, hoping nobody was seeing her in open eyes. But just, there was just no light in her eyes. It was just pure, pure pain, whatever she was going through. If you start to pay attention, you'll start to notice that the level of discouragement that our world is dealing with is so real. And I'm going to ask you today, I realize that I'm taking us way down right now, I get it. But I'm going to ask you if you would just take a moment to reflect a little bit on what the sources of discouragement are in your life right now. Where is your discouragement coming from? Something inside? Something out there coming in? Is it certain relationships or people, whatever it may be? And again, I get not everyone, you might not be in that place today, that's fine. But you've been there before, right? Or you can prepare for what's coming next. And I'd be lying if I didn't say that I've experienced some of this over the last few weeks, a couple months. Chasing little kids around is hard work. You land on social media and you're like, oh, why am I even reading this stuff? The whole church gig, pastor gig, you're reading books out there about the state of life and the church and all those things. Like, I'd be lying if I didn't say I was feeling some of this. This psalmist is very clearly feeling spiritually dehydrated. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to reread the psalm, and I'm going to ask you to just, now that we've set the context a little bit, I'm going to ask you to just try to feel what this psalmist is feeling. Try to take it on as your own words and apply it to your situation in your life, okay? You can close your eyes if that's helpful to you, whatever it may be. I'm just going to read it nice and slow one more time. And if you also want to notice those water themes that I talked about, those water themes, okay? As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar, I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me, just utterly overwhelmed by their discouragement. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. I think the question worth asking is, why is it helpful? Why is it helpful to come to church and sing songs of praise and then sit and listen to the pastor drag you down into the muck of what you've already been experiencing all week long? There's a few reasons, okay? First is that if you find yourself in a place of deep discouragement today, I want to make sure that you know you're not alone. That it is more of a common experience than it is a rare experience. That we're all doing the same thing. We're carrying this huge weight on our shoulders and then going out in the world and trying to present ourselves like we're not. All of us are doing that, okay? And in a world where relationships, deep relationships, where we have meaningful connection with each other and we're talking about the real stuff, are much harder to find, it's even more common for people to be walking around with a hidden discouragement. Okay, so if that's you, I want you to know you are not even close to alone. Okay? The second reason is that trying to pick yourself out of your own discouragement is almost impossible if you've ever tried to do that yourself, or if you are trying to do that yourself. Okay? So if we just came here and we were just happy and joyful all the time and then said, okay, now we're just good with Jesus here, so we're not going to deal with the dark stuff. You go deal with the dark stuff on your own. We would be massively underserving you as a church, okay? So we want to welcome that here. We want you to bring it here so that we can together, work together to lift ourselves out of it, okay? And the third reason that it's helpful for me to bring us down like this is because then I can show you that this scripture shows us how to lift out. It gives us a way out, okay? So if you're wondering, like, the question, a fair question to ask of any passage that you read, among several other questions that I like to ask of the passages as I'm studying them, one is there an example to follow? Is there an example to follow in this passage, okay? So in this case, you probably read the Psalms as just words on a page. It changes it a little bit when you think about a person sitting down and pouring out their heart and writing them to you. And then those words, that poem, those words got preserved for us, okay? So is there an example to follow in what this author is doing here? Or a simpler question, where's the sermon here? Where's the sermon here? Okay, this is the stanza that ends both sections. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Okay. Sat and looked at it and looked at it this week, and then I realized, you know where the sermon is? The sermon is right there. The example to follow is right there in that negative space. Because this writer, if he's human, which he was, didn't just say, why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. That's not how it works. This writer sat there and said, why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I know. I will put my hope in God. That is a conscious choice that this writer makes. A conscious choice in the midst of his discouragement to pursue God, to lean on God, to find God in the midst of their discouragement. This is the formula for lifting ourselves out of the pit that we're in. Acknowledge that we're in a pit. Think about why we're in the pit. Pause a second. Focus on what choice we're going to make. Either dive deeper into the pit and keep going, or put my hope in God. It is a conscious choice. And when I say put my hope in God, of course, this is an Old Testament passage, but we live in a New Testament time. So when I say put my hope in God, what I mean to say is put your hope in Jesus Christ. That's the offer. That's the opportunity for any believer out there, any person out there in the world feeling discouraged. You want to lift yourselves up, and out of that, put your hope in Jesus Christ. And what's really cool is that the New Testament offers us this explanation of what Jesus offers us in the midst of our spiritual dehydration. He offers us two things. First, he offers us his blood. His blood. Luke 22 says it this way. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces, gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. You see, the reason we get so discouraged is because we think of the problems and then we turn to what the world offers as solutions and it doesn't seem to work. Right? Whether that be a problem inside your own heart and mind, or a problem in the context of a relationship you're having, or a big worldly war news headline type of problem out there, and then you think, okay, well, there's very clearly a problem. We all agree this is a problem. What are we going to do about it? And then the world offers all of these attempts at solving the problem, and they just never seem to solve it. And we find ourselves in a hamster wheel. That is why followers of Jesus believe that the only real power, the only real solution to the problems that are caused by sin in the world is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, it's not just something that's offered for us to drink in as an individual act of forgiveness for our individual sins. The blood of Jesus Christ was poured out as the solution for the global problems caused by the power of sin and darkness in the world. It's not an individual temporary boost for us when we've sinned and we need forgiveness. There is power in the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ that was poured out for the dehydrated world that he came to save. And we believe this is the only thing that can solve these problems that are weighing us down and discouraging us. So, you see a problem, inside-outside relationship. You see a problem? Don't spend so much time trying to look to the world for solutions. That's a discouraging path. Look to Jesus, King Jesus, who offers the real solution. He offers us blood and he offers us one other thing. Jesus replied, this is John chapter 4. We actually looked at this passage a few months ago. If you only knew the gift God has for you, he's speaking with the woman at the well, who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks the water from this well will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Zoe life, abundant life, walking with Jesus. And that fresh, living water can rehydrate you and rehydrate you and rehydrate you and rehydrate you and rehydrate you as you go through what can feel like a discouraging existence. That is God's design for why Jesus matters so much. This was his plan, okay? His plan wasn't to use the governments of the world. His plan wasn't to use the scientists of the world and the doctors of the world. That wasn't his plan. He knew that we were going to be facing all of these discouragements. He knows that we will continue to face all of these discouragements. His plan for providing hope to the world was Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. That was the plan. That's still the plan. What are you going to do about it? This was God's design. So our response then, just like when we're feeling thirsty and dry, like we've been outside sweating on a really hot day, is to hydrate. Maybe stay hydrated like you've been told your whole life. Don't think about prayer or reading your Bible or journaling or Sabbath rest or coming to church or putting worship music on in your car as like some sort of religious thing you're supposed to do because that's what religious people do. It is the literal water for your soul. You carry a water bottle around with you? Figure out what it is that you're going to carry around with you every single day that keeps you hydrated by Jesus Christ. The more discouraged or downcast you feel, the more likely it is that you could use a drink. Some time with Jesus. We're going to offer up this fall, like, the metaphor just keeps going, you guys. This is amazing. The metaphor, like, if you're really dehydrated, you go to the emergency room, and what do? They hook up, like, an IV with some sort of fluid, right? Fluids, that's what they call it. I don't know what it actually is. Someone can tell me later. We're going to offer this fall what I consider to be, like, a more deep and intentional, like, hook up to an IV of fluids to make sure that we're all really hydrated. We're calling it the Pursuit Project. It's an all-church study. We've been like tossing it out there as like a mention. Let me explain it to you really quick. We're going to study the books of Ezra and Nehemiah together. There's going to be three components. There's going to be 11 Sunday mornings tied to an individual devotion book that is going to be free to all of you to take home and do three devotions a week. It should take you maybe 30 minutes each, something along those lines. And then there's going to be group study available. So we're hoping that as many of you as possible will join a group. And these three components will work together to carry us through this journey of reconnecting to the heart of God, pursuing the heart that God has for you, okay? And I'm not shy about the fact that this is going to, I'm asking for more of your time than you're probably used to giving towards church things, okay? So you do 45 minutes of the three devotions, and you still come to church, and then you do the group an hour or two, whatever it may be. Like, I'm not shy about asking for that for this fall series that's starting September 13th and goes through Thanksgiving, because I believe that God is going to move us a step forward, okay, together. Your action step right now is to jump on board with a group. Okay, join a group or offer to lead a group if you'd be willing to do that. We're going to need a bunch of people that are willing to lead new groups for that period of time. You can do that on the website or the card or talk to one of us, whatever it might be. Okay, that's going to be our shot in the arm, our IV in the arm. Okay, and it'd be silly to miss the connection to baptisms this Wednesday as well, right? There's water, and it pours over, and it says, I'm going to go. If you I know we do a lot of stuff with food and coming to hang out, and we do that at this one, too. It's like a picnic style, but this is more than that, okay? This is your opportunity to come and celebrate the massive spiritual step that someone is taking to say to the world, I'm following Jesus, and I want you all to know it. Jesus is my King, my Lord, my Savior, and then we get to celebrate them. So if for no other reason than to celebrate your church family members, we hope you'll join us this Wednesday night. Okay? All right. Let's go to the end. I know that many of you are feeling discouraged. I get it. The offer of Jesus looks something like this. Leaning on Jesus and asking him to hold you up in all situations each and every day isn't going to make your problems go away. It's not going to make you discouragement proof, but it can carry you through. And even more than that, it can lift you up out of the pit you're in. It can refuel you and take you from pessimism to optimism, from angst to peace, from dejection to renewal, and from discouragement to hope. Would you please stand with us?
Cornerstone, we've made strong in the sea. shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. For this I stand before the throne. In Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. In Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
One more time we sing.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He
The Apostle Paul wrote these words in Romans chapter 15, and I hope you'll take them with you this week. He's a man who experienced plenty of discouragement in his life. It says in verse 12, in one place Isaiah said, "To the heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule. They will place their hope on him." I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If we can pray for you this morning, please stop back in the corner. Any other things we can do for you, please grab one of us on staff. Otherwise, be blessed. We'll see you Wednesday night.